Items 2 and 3, which are combined hearings. Item 2 is an application for rezoning of various properties within the West Alexander and Centennial neighborhoods in the Point Douglas ward under file DZ 202009 for rezoning to an RMU residential mixed-use district, a CMU commercial mixed-use district, and an M2 manufacturing general district adjourned from May 19, 2009. And in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing. The following item will also be considered. Item 3, which is an application for the West Alexander and Centennial Plan Development Overlay 1, PDO 1, in the Point Douglas ward under file DAZ 201 of 2009, also adjourned from May 19th.
Okay, and our applicant is the Director of Planning, Property, and Development.
Is there anyone in opposition?
Sorry, yes.
We have
registered opposition, and we have people in support. And for information, our applicant is present. We'll call up Mr. Michael Robinson, representing the Director of Planning, Property, and Development.
Michael.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Your application, how come there's opposition to your application?
I'll get to that. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'd like to do a little recap. Madam Clerk, as you indicated, this item has been adjourned first in April and then subsequently in May. Back in July of 2008, Council approved the West Alexander and Centennial Secondary Plan, and as part of that initiative, Council recommended that the Public Service take steps to rezone approximately 175 properties within the West Alexander and Centennial neighborhoods to reflect the intent of the secondary plan. The Public Service contacted these property owners via mail, as well as we held an open house in September of 2008 to inform the property owners about the proposed changes. Four property owners objected to the change and asked to have their properties removed from the rezoning. The Public Service obliged in the administrative recommendation. However, at the public hearing that was held in April, it was indicated by Community Committee that there was a concern with status quo for these properties, as they may in the future not grow in kind with residential properties. For that reason, the Public Service was directed to meet with the four property owners who were excluded to discuss possible restrictions to industrial properties. The Public Service has met with those four property owners and discussed restrictions, namely to make several uses conditional and several uses prohibited within the M1 district. The property owners, two of the property owners did not object to the change. Two of the property owners objected, and the main objections to the changes were as follows. Number one, risk. That requiring a conditional use approval would create an uncertainty and risk for those property owners. Number two, cost. That requiring a conditional use would add additional cost to development, currently roughly $1,000 for a conditional use application. Number three, time. That requiring a conditional use would add approximately 4 to 6 weeks to development approvals, and that it would take away rights, take away vested rights that would be both harmful to the value of their property as well as future resale of their property. So in order to address the concerns of these property owners, the Public Service has put forward another option to address the concerns of Community Committee while still getting at the intent of requiring higher development standards in the area. So the option that we've put forward is something called plan review, which you're all familiar with. There's a number of properties within the City of Winnipeg that have site plan review. It's also a practice that has been used for many years in industrial areas of the city. There's also additional regulations in the downtown as well as in the Provence Boulevard. So the idea behind the design review would be to look at redevelopment and new development of M1 zone properties to make sure that the properties are designed to a site plan standard that would be more in keeping with the residential area. So that's sort of a recap of where we're at, and I'll entertain any questions that you might have.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Zarenko.
Mike, why do you say plan review? Can you elaborate on that plan review?
Sure. When somebody applies for a building permit, we have a plan examination branch that looks at the building for building code compliance. The site plan review would look at the site and would look at things like fencing, landscaping, screening of outdoor storage to make sure that the site was in keeping with the character of the area. So since this is a mixed area now, there's residential, commercial, and industrial, it was sort of try to put forward a higher design standard for this neighborhood and make sure that what's built and what's redeveloped is compatible with the neighborhood.
Michael, this neighborhood, the West Alexander, is a neighborhood that's there's a lot of vacant land. There were a lot of homes that were derelict and have been subsequently torn down. In the 90s there was some Habitat for Humanity homes. Canadian Tire moved out, and it's sort of they've changed hands, I guess. They've done a different operation with their retail concept there. And there's also a lot of new Canadians coming to the neighborhood, and there's also some pressures for more housing, and there's also quite frankly some interest in land for government offices. So the neighborhood is changing, and this whole process that we're undergoing is sort of a guide to ensure that development happens, I guess, in sort of a harmonious fashion, for lack of a better word. And so I guess my question for you is just in the spirit of that, and with respect to these, this is something that I think is really good for the city, these secondary plans that help guide development. With respect to this rezoning, for some of the current business owners that are here who have taken some issue, in your opening remarks, you said some have taken some issue with this. How is this sensitive to their requirements in terms of if they wanted to, say, continue with their operation, or if they wanted to evolve their operations to something else, or if they wanted to sell their operation? Does this provide does this allow those operations to continue on to the future? And secondly, if they were going to sell it, I guess, would another operation be able to come in there and still set up a operation that's consistent with the zoning?
Yeah, to answer that question, the property owners who asked to be excluded from the rezoning under this recommendation, they would be excluded from the rezoning, so their properties would remain M1 industrial. And in terms of use, this would have no impact on the use of their property. So if they're using it for light manufacturing or any type of industrial use, they would continue to be able to use their property in that fashion. They'd have an opportunity to expand their properties for those uses in the future. They're encouraged to grow and thrive in the neighborhood. It would have no impact on that. In terms of re-tenanting of their properties, of going from one industrial use to another, it would have no impact on re-tenanting of their properties at all. We're simply looking at the design standards of the property in terms of what's visible from the public street. So things like signage, landscaping, screening of outdoor storage, fencing, those types of things.
Okay. Thank you very much. You'll have a chance to come back once we hear.
I'd like to hear if there's any opposition.
There is, we have registered opposition. We'll hear that first. So in opposition, we have four delegates registered in opposition. Do we do it in opposition?
First in support.
Oh, in support. I'm sorry.
In support first.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry. My mistake. We will hear those in support first. So those in support, if you wish to speak, just please come to the front. First up, we have Catherine Collins. Oh, and Fred Curry, you want to come together? Okay. Your name and address for the record, please.
Fred Curry, 997 Dorchester. Mr. Chairman, if you recall, we attended the last meeting, and there was some concern. There are two clusters. The properties that requested the exception from the rezoning and the PDO clustered in two places. One of them was on note. I don't have my maps. I couldn't find them. I didn't realize we'd be presenting. So, but I think they're down Ellen Francis in that area around Notre Dame and going up to McDermott.
Yeah.
And then there was a second cluster around Victoria Albert School. Now, I'm in favor of no exceptions. We spent years attending and planning for the secondary meeting. I think there were two generations of city staff, and we worked through both of them on this project. And lots of people have reservations about the plan, but essentially there was a sort of a big compromise made. So I'm in favor of the plan. However, I've been doing this not as long as Councillor O'Shaughnessy or Councillor Azarenko in terms of dealing with this, but I know in Winnipeg we don't sort of run roughshod over the property owners who want to be accepted from whatever is going on. So I understand that there's an exception. We suggested at the time some kind of administrative review. And so your department has come up with a refinement of that. The only qualification I would make is I'd like to see the community committee involved, not on a formal level. I don't think you should have a meeting where you post it. But when you have a proposal to change use to something that might, some of the uses in the M1 are perfectly compatible with residential, some of them aren't. So if you need to have some sort of review, I'd certainly like it. I mean, who knows? The people in the future on the city staff or the councillors might not be as reasonable as everybody at this table. You're supposed to smile when I say something like that, right? But, I mean, you'd want to have a look. If it's your ward, you'd want to have a look at what was being proposed, I think. And so in terms of the review that would take place, if I was the sitting councillor, I'd like to be consulted just to know what was going on. And all the review is to do, of course, is the plan review, is to just to see if the proposed use that's being changed, proposed change within the industrial zoning, we're not talking about rezoning or downzoning or removing zoning rights, we're just saying, is the proposed use compatible with the surrounding neighborhood? Because some of the uses in the M1 table aren't. And that's all we're asking. Now, one of the things that was suggested at the last meeting that apparently is one of the options that's being presented to you is of doing a sort of going to conditional use. I'm not opposed to that either, except, as we all know, when you're doing conditional use, there's a statutory period, there's some paperwork that has to be done, there's a posting that has to take place, the meeting has to occur, there's an appeal period. There is a cost, a dollar cost, and the actual time, if you're doing a development, the actual time you take to do this costs money too, right? Because you've got people on hold waiting and they're being paid. So I think that would be a hardship. But in terms of the administrative review, most supportive. I mean, I think that's better than the status quo, which is you just have a blanket exception, and especially around the school. Now, our understanding is that the cluster of properties down around Notre Dame, that there is a WRHA, I think, is supposed to build there. There was some proposal that was announced a couple of months ago. So our understanding is that whatever is done there will be moot if that happens, if there's a government building built there. Well, it was in the paper, right?
It was. I don't think it was proceeding. That's why I heard it wasn't proceeding, but I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, anyway, so, but I still think that having some sort of review, I mean, there is evidence in other centers where plans of this sort take place that having the harmonious relationship amongst the zoning and the permitted land use actually improves property values better than when you have conflicts. So when you have different packets of zoning located in the same area, the simple fact that some of the uses are incompatible with another will affect property values negatively. So I think that having a review of some sort in as opposed to just rezoning the whole thing, applying the PDO and the rezoning bylaw but in the secondary plan uniformly, at least having a review allows some protection of the existing uses, and especially of a school, an elementary school. And if I had my maps and my notes, I would have done better.
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, you know, just I appreciate your comments on I'll let you speak in a second, Kathleen. I appreciate your comments on the administrative review. I think that actually is a good thing. With respect to your other request, you know, I was looking at the chart here, and I think it's pretty good right now, the way we have it. They're not allowing a wrecking yard or a salvage, you know, operation. There's some things that are not allowed anymore as a result of this. So,
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Fred and Catherine, I know you've been around this table many, many times now. In the young years that I've been in here, you've been here also, and you've come up with some concerns that we took into. You know, to find and try to resolve. But what is before us here today, like you get multiple family housing becomes a permitted use rather than a conditional use, drinking establishment become conditional rather than permitted uses. Pawn shops and X-rated stores become prohibited uses rather than conditional uses. Biller sign become prohibited rather than conditional uses. Heavy manufacturing become prohibited rather than permitted. Wrecking and salvage yard become prohibited rather than permitted. Office become permitted rather than prohibited. And it goes on to outline the plan for the community. I know that the schools, special attention has to be given, because if you have schools, you don't want to have some kind of a operation of some I've had in my area, close to the school, there's the scrap dealer, and that's the pollution and the rest of it. But I think what the administration, what they're requesting, I still haven't heard. I don't know what the people here in opposition, some of the businesses are in opposition. I don't know what their, what their opposition is. But I stand to say that you are in favor of the proposals that are here, permitted and prohibited uses in the area.
We're generally supportive of both the secondary plan and the rezoning that's taken place concurrent with it, and that's before you today, and the PDO. Right? We were concerned about the exceptions. Some people opted out, which is certainly within their rights, and certainly it's in the culture of these things in the city of Winnipeg, this is quite common. People want to opt out. The concern we expressed at the last meeting was that some of the uses that are in the opted out industrial table, not in the one you've just read, Councillor, but in that are be left behind, some of those uses might not be compatible with a school or with a residential area. And with the not compatible with the reconfigured, the new zoning bylaw, because there will be a different zoning bylaw and a plan applied to the whole area. Right? So these people are asking for an exception to that. We're saying, okay, we do that here. We allow exceptions. I'm saying let's make sure that some of those exceptions, who knows, a lot of these places might never ever change the use, right? They might sell and the subsequent owner might continue the existing use. A lot of the low-income housing in the area has occurred in converted industrial buildings. Winnipeg Housing, of which you fellows at different times have been on the board, Winnipeg Housing has converted several of the abandoned industrial buildings to housing. So the concern we have is changes of use within the existing M1, which is not the list that you just read, right? The M1. Some of the uses in the M1 might not be compatible with a school or with residences. And so if you're the councillor for the area or your community committee for the area, you might just want to have a look at them, and you want your administrators to have a look at them just to make sure that whatever's going to change in those particular pieces of property. These are people that want an exception, and we aren't disagreeing with that. Right? We're just saying, let's just have a review, an administrative review, and in my case, a political review, an administrative review just to make sure that what the proposed change will be is compatible with what's there now. Right? Like there's some things you just don't want to happen inside a school. We don't want to go into the history of the city about some of the horrible things that have happened right across the street from schools here. We just want to make sure that we look after the Victoria Albert and the various people that are living in the neighborhood.
I understand, Fred, what you're concerned about. I have the same concern. I had in Point Douglas area a number of years back, maybe about close to 20 years back, we had, there was a scrap yard in the Point Douglas area that the soil was contaminated. Even if they would have been out of there, the soil was contaminated, and we got the clean, we had the environment people involved, and they did soil sampling, and the sampling that was taken, and they had said, that if they wanted to build or something, homes, they were not able to do it. They'd have to clean that, take the soil right out because it was so polluted. I don't know about this area because this is not the area that I represent, but I'm sure that the administration would take a strong concern to that if a industrial zone piece of land or property that would be contaminated, that would be considered strongly, by not to say we'll just allow to you're not allowed to build houses on there.
Well, but even just to change from one use in the M1 to another, right? Because the M1 is not the same as the zoning that's proposed on the secondary plan, right? So there'd be some people who aren't affected, some pieces of property. Just to have a review, not to say, oh, you can't do that, but just to look and see, is what you're doing, because so let's face it, some industrial uses, and certainly in the modern times, some industrial uses are perfectly compatible with residential development, but some of them still aren't. And since the properties under question will be accepted from the restrictions that you just read off, right? They're not subject to those restrictions. You want to make sure that some of the more objectionable uses, should somebody propose them, that they don't happen.
Sir, Mr. Robinson has said it was a plan review.
A plan review. Which is done fairly short time. I mean, you can meet in the director's office and just say, this is cool or this isn't cool. There's no horrible cost, no length, no having to go to public meetings. And
it's likely that there might be a political representative as part of that plan review, I'm sure.
I mean, that would be a good idea, I think, especially if you're the counselor, if I was the counselor, I sure want to be sitting there. Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Catherine, did you wish to add? Okay. Thank you both for your delegation. I appreciate that. Okay. That was in support. Now we're going to go to in opposition, and then after that we'll proceed to
how many?
So we have four registered delegates for in opposition.
Are they together?
I'll read the names out, and if you're together or separately, let me know. Ted Bach. You wish to speak? Okay, and Dave, you're coming together? Okay. You can come up and state your name and address for the record, please. And after that, we'll have Harold Baumer and Reynold Zimmerman.
David McCangas, 830 South Drive, Winnipeg.
Ted Bach, 372 Kingston Crescent.
Welcome.
Well, to start off, firstly, we want what's for the neighborhood all to be good. I think after a little history of our company, we're probably the longest standing company there. My father started the company in 1953, moved to Francis Street to a shop there, and that's where Winnipeg Building started. We've expanded through the years, and there were a bunch of old houses in the neighborhood, boarding houses and the like, and through bylaw of the city where the boarding houses weren't allowed, they became dilapidated. And over 50 years, my father, my brother and I, we've bought these properties with the M1 zoning. We're not here to build anything noxious or anything like that. Our uses are, I found when I read the thing, it was like putting a little stick in my eye when they say contracted establishment, conditional use. Well, we've been there for 55 years or whatever, and all of a sudden now we're conditional use. I think we're good corporate citizens, and I just find that a little hard to live with that. It is our plan to expand our business there. We do have to take down one shop that's there and build a new one, and it's our intent to do that. I think the other fellow in reference, we did have a proposal in to the province, which was they pulled it back, and that was for the MIT. The area worked perfectly for that. It was an office building with surface parking, 42,000 square feet. It would have been very compatible. I mean, but now with the change that's happening, when we put a proposal in like that, we have to be sure that we can have the use. There can't be any doubt. It costs $100,000 to put a proposal like that together, and then to be tripped up at City Hall when you already have the zoning in place to do it, I think is a little unfair. After we've been paying taxes on the land all that time with the M1, you know, no one said anywhere along the line. We bought the last piece was just a couple of years ago, saying, well, you shouldn't buy this because we're changing the zoning on it. And all I can say is if we really want to be, we want to keep everybody in the neighborhood happy, we bring 135 people downtown every day to work. When my father started the business, he hired people in the neighborhood. Those people ended up with higher paying jobs working for Winnipeg Building. Unfortunately, left the neighborhood to live in the suburbs. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but for them, it was the right thing. We feel our land value, we paid premium dollar for this land, and we feel that it'll be dramatically decreased in value by any sort of downzoning. And I just want to make sure too, I understand. I know what Michael's saying about, I understand that we could go through this review process. We don't have that in place now. It's just another step. But I want to make sure that what we're talking about today isn't taking away our M1 zoning as well. Like, I'm not a lawyer, he's a lawyer, but I just, like, when our own use becomes a conditional use, that gets me pretty excited after.
Chairman, if I may, David, are you a part of the four property owners? Because we dealt with this in April 14th of this year, and we had included that the administration were to consult with the four property owners. Are you one of the four property owners?
I assume we're one of the four. And we did consult, and we were in opposition to it. I had an email from Michael saying he was putting forward that that everything should stay the same. There should be no change. I believe that when the planner put that forward, I thought it would be accepted. That obviously wasn't the case. So here we are in opposition. And
so you had some table talks with the administration on that?
Yeah.
And what did you, did they tell you that there'll be no change for you?
At one time, what he told me by email was that they were proposing that there would be no change. But politically, that got changed, I believe. Okay. I have an email saying your stuff's going to be the same, not changed. He was putting forward that proposal as a planner. So we assume that normally the planner's proposal is accepted, and that's what we went on. And we were then... just a few weeks ago, we were told that, well, that didn't fly, and that's why we're here today.
My understanding was that the reason that what we did on the April 14th was to allow the Pointepec Public Services to meet with the four property owners outlined in the consultation portion of the report of this application. And I just want to know, I'm sure that Mr. Robinson will be able to address that, because you do have the right. If you were told one thing, all of a sudden we're going to change, I will not support that change. Because it's not right that you'd have to go through all this.
Right. Now, but it was Michael's proposal as the planner that wasn't accepted, I assume, by this committee. I have an email from Michael saying, yeah, we agree you can stay the same.
We didn't accept it.
You didn't accept it.
No, that's the reason why we sent this back for the Winnipeg Public Services to hold consultation talks with you. And it's here before us now. And I'll just have to listen and hear what Michael Robinson has to say on that.
Now, Michael, we've had more discussions on this. We had previous discussions. We've had more with his new proposal on the third point of how it could be now. I'm a little gun shy of that when we're trying to put a deal together with a tenant, and not have the certainty that we're in the right position, that a little hiccup at a plan review could bring down a house of cards where a lot of effort's gone in. I'm concerned about that. It's our intention, like, we just spent $300,000 renovating our building, the whole thing. We're not going anywhere. We've been there forever. It works really well for us. We're in the service business, Winnipeg building. We do a lot of work for the city, and it's an easy place to travel from. It's not as if we're not going to put in any of these silly things that are allowed. And we're not selling it. We're not moving on. My son's in there. We're third generation. I've got my daughter graduating.
What's the name of your company?
Winnipeg Building and Decorating. So we've been here a long time.
Mr. Angus, were you aware that if, in the event that you did sell it, and it's great to see that you renovated, that's awesome. I think that's a good testimony of your commitment. That if you were to sell it, were you aware that you could continue, that could continue on in that current operation under the grandfathering clause?
I could continue on, but I couldn't expand. Like, even when I put the question to Michael the other day, I said, okay, we got to take down our old building, build a new shop. Where we manufacture millwork, small millwork shop, 10 guys. Conditional use, you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
What?
So that'll get a guy like me pretty excited when you go to take something down that you've been able to do for 50 years. And, you know, I think we're reasonable corporate citizens in the neighborhood. As you're well aware, we own the land across the street. It's zoned M1. We let the Winnipeg Regional Housing, they have their garden on that. We still pay the taxes on the land. We haven't asked you for a tax receipt or anything. We just pay your $5,000 every year. The city uses it as a garden. I don't think we're bad guys.
Well, what is your property zoned there?
It's zoned M1.
M1.
Yeah. And our goal is to find, we've finally been able to piece it all together through all these old houses. The last piece we bought was, I believe it was 48 Francis Street. It was a burned house. The city had a demolition order against it. We went to the owner and bought it for $27,000. It cost us $10,000 to knock it down.
Unless
but it was a final piece to give us a square piece of land that we could do something. So we're thinking we're in a great position to do something with the, more likely with the province than anyone else, where they need an office building with parking. We think we can fit that in and it'd be a nice clean use. And we just don't think that there should be any uncertainty that we can do something like that. I mean, you're right. We don't want to have scrap yards. We don't want to have hog killing or anything like that. We just want to, we'll do what's right for the neighborhood. You know, I know there's a concern if you just turn around and sell it. Well, we've got too much invested in it just to turn around and sell it.
I don't blame you.
Can you just restate a couple of the quick points? I was having a sidebar here, but what are some of the quick hits? Again, I want the planner to respond to some of those comments, and I missed what you said, sorry.
Basically, we want to have the certainty that the zoning's in place so that if we go to partner, on this last thing, we partnered with Shindico, we wanted to have certainty that we can make something, that we have the zoning, and we hire architects, we hire engineers, and we put a proposal into the province. We don't want to have a delay that we have to come to meet politically or plan review, delaying us to be able to make sure that a proposal goes in. As you're well aware, when you put a proposal into the province, you have to be able to deliver on all parts of it. You can't just say, well, we think we can get this and we think we can get that. We have to be able to deliver it. For sure, if we built something for the province or something like that, we would take the care to have the right fences and the right, you know, proper landscaping and all those things. I just, to me, it's just very difficult for that uncertainty to be taken away. And as I say, we're talking about something a little bit different today in that Michael's proposing staying M1 with this review. I just hope that we're never getting back to where it's changing us to multiple family. And I hope I'm understanding that correctly. Okay.
I just want to make sure you have all your points on the table because you only get this one shot to say it.
He's got lots.
Okay. Ted?
If the dark suit didn't give me away, I am the lawyer. And I guess it's a measure of the importance that Winnipeg Building attaches to this that I was asked to come and outline for you briefly the factors that ought to be considered by this committee in deliberating on what. My thoughts on paper, and I may. I'll take you through that. Now,
okay, go ahead.
And just at the outset, in response to this, fine balance between the interests of the community and the interests of individual property owners. And you have to resist the temptation, I think, to jump to the conclusion that more management or more regulation will benefit the community, although there is a temptation because, of course, the more you control, the more you think that you can achieve the desired outcome. But here you have to give people like Winnipeg Building and other business owners in the neighborhood scope to develop their properties in a way that's going to enhance the community. Now, with reference to the submission before you, the property with which Winnipeg Building is especially concerned is that property that's on Notre Dame, and it's bounded by McDermott and Ellen and Francis, and I suspect you're all familiar with it. And it is currently zoned M1. This committee is supposed to hear submissions from interested parties, as it's doing today, and make recommendations to council. And in making its recommendations, I mentioned I wanted to draw to the attention to this committee first principles, I suppose, and things that this committee is always mindful of, but sometimes it's useful to repeat them, that the factors that ought to be considered are the intent of the zoning which currently applies to these properties under the relevant zoning bylaw, the policy objectives that have been expressed in Plan Winnipeg 2020, the rights and interests of property owners, and the interests of the public, first and foremost, and the citizens of Winnipeg, in promoting sound, sustainable, and orderly development in West Alexander. I'll turn to the bylaw first, and I'll just refer to it simply as the zoning bylaw. It's useful to remind ourselves that the manufacturing zoning districts established under the bylaw are intended to accomplish certain objectives, and in this case, I'd submit they're achieving them. They're to provide appropriately located areas consistent with Plan Winnipeg for industrial and employment purposes, to limit non-industrial uses that could erode the supply of industrial lands. And then the M1 zoning with which we're particularly concerned is intended to provide for light manufacturing, for processing, for service, for storage, for wholesale, for all sorts of useful and compatible uses in that neighborhood. And the current zoning of Winnipeg Buildings properties ideally realizes the stated intention of that M1 zoning designation. It takes into account, for starters, the primary use of those properties for over 50 years, since 1953, so 60 years in just four more years. It recognizes the economic interest of the neighborhood in drawing 135 employees to the core area every day, and that can't be a bad thing for the West Alexander area. It recognizes that the land in question is located on Notre Dame Avenue, and it's well serviced for light industrial use. That Notre Dame area has become a very desirable area, you'll see as you go down, for certain kinds of light industrial uses. And the light industrial designation is highly compatible with other commercial and mixed uses in the vicinity. The highest and best use of that land, I would suggest, is light industrial. Now, I mentioned that not only the bylaw ought to be considered, but you ought to consider, too, the Plan Winnipeg, in respect to which the council deliberated and crafted that plan. The current zoning of the properties, Winnipeg Buildings properties, is consistent with the policies articulated in Plan Winnipeg 2020. And in reviewing the plan, I highlighted five of them for you, and I've bulleted them there on page 3. The principle of thoughtful development, for starters, by evaluating costs and benefits of development proposals. And the proposed rezoning in this case could in time prevent the highest and best use of the land, which would in turn erode the tax revenue earned by the city from the land. On a strict cost-benefit analysis, I'd suggest the proposed downzoning isn't desirable. In saying that, I'm mindful that what Mr. Robinson now suggests is, well, not downzoning, but a kind of a plan review. But again, that plan review introduces a layer of complexity, introduces a potential for delay, introduces a potential for uncertainty, all of which could discourage people who would otherwise be willing and able to invest their time and money and effort into a development of that property. The current zoning takes maximum advantage of existing infrastructure. Development Plan Winnipeg tells us should strive to meet the economic needs and convenience of local residents, and certainly over a span of 60 years, the Winnipeg building operation has done that. There's a desire to maintain existing infrastructure expressed in Plan Winnipeg, and the desirability of promoting long-term viability of existing industrial areas. In this case, we're talking about the viability of long-term light industrial uses. So Plan Winnipeg speaks to the desire of all Winnipeggers to live in a dynamic, prosperous society and city. To achieve that result, the city should strive to create a planning environment that encourages committed and determined Winnipeggers like the McCangus family and others who are here today to speak, to invest meaningfully in their city's development. Innovative development should be encouraged as a means of reaching those goals, and regulation through zoning or regulation through additional complicated systems like plan reviews And I don't mean to be pejorative or dismissive about that, but it does add another layer of uncertainty and complexity, should be discouraged unless they're absolutely necessary. And in my submission, that case hasn't been made. The proposal is not absolutely necessary. Indeed, I would go so far as to say it's not necessary at all. And it should be, if you turn over the page, it should be incumbent on Mr. Robinson's department to make the case that it is absolutely necessary before you intrude on the owner's interests in the way that's proposed in this case. And I elaborate on that in the fourth page of this brief. The harm to the owner's interests is obvious. The owner acquired the properties, and Mr. McKenga spoke to this, that comprised the overall property over a period of more than 50 years. And in doing that, they acted in reliance on the fact that this was zoned M1 and could be used for a variety of uses. And their character as M1 was no doubt reflected in the fact that their acquisition cost was higher than it otherwise would have been, and in the property taxes that have been paid. Property ownership is a right. It carries with it responsibilities. And in this case, the property owner has met all of those responsibilities faithfully. And the owner's property now, as presently zoned, is a valuable asset. It's a desirable location. I already mentioned that it's located on Notre Dame, and it's located between two commercial areas, the Health Sciences Center complex to the west and the Exchange and downtown area to the east, that are now enjoying exactly the kind of growth and vigor that Plan Winnipeg contemplates. Winnipeg Building has in the past, and it'll continue to have opportunities to develop this property in ways that will no doubt enhance the city, that will be imaginative, that will be innovative, that will be compatible with the local character of the neighborhood. And evidence of that, frankly, is the way the property has been used for almost 60 years now. Winnipeg Building is a light industrial business. It's been operating on Ellen Street profitably, reliably, and to the benefit of the neighborhood. And it's leased portions of that property to other businesses that have also enjoyed success. So you've got a track record of almost 60 years of successful use in a light industrial context, successfully integrated in that neighborhood, which ought to assuage any concerns that this committee might have about continuing the status quo. And not to overstate the case, but we shouldn't ignore the practical effect that altering the zoning as proposed now will have on the owner's property rights. It's no exaggeration to say that limitations on use now contemplated may, or that have been contemplated, I'm not entirely sure what exactly is contemplated as matters stand today. Earlier, I had understood that some of the limitations that were possibly going to be imposed could limit, as Mr. McKangas was saying, current uses, current permitted uses. Well, that has a profound effect, obviously, on an owner's rights and raises profound concerns. It amounts to, in its worst circumstances, as an expropriation without compensation, because your use of the property becomes so limited relative to how it had been permitted until the change in the zone.
What do you mean by that, sir?
Well, as it was described to me originally, and I'm not sure how this has changed, given what I've heard from Mr. Robinson today, but there was a suggestion that certain plans that Winnipeg Building had contemplated for either an expansion or a renovation of its business might not be permitted. It's what Mr. McKangas was talking about earlier. And that, as he said, gets a guy like him excited after, as he says, after introducing a third generation of the McKangas family to the neighborhood, to continue operating a business that's happily operated there for many, many years. The suggestion that that might not be permitted any longer, that that might only be a conditional use, amounts to a serious intrusion into the rights of the property owner. Those are concessions and accommodations we all have to make when we live in the city, but we only ought to be asked to make them in the most obviously necessary circumstances. And again, in this case, I mentioned at the beginning, it's a fine balance between the interests of the community and the interests of individual property owners. The balance is tipping substantially in favor of Winnipeg Building here. After 55 years, there isn't any obvious reason to change the status quo. I go on to talk about the public's interest in at page 6 of this brief, and how the public, including those people who are living in West Alexander, have an interest in seeing sound, profitable businesses that are compatible with the surrounding neighborhood establish themselves in the neighborhood. Now, that's only going to happen if you create conditions to permit that kind of development. And of course they have to be sensible conditions. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But they're already in place in the case of the property with which you're concerned today. The public has an interest in a zoning system that operates fairly and reasonably and predictably. And with respect, the implications of the proposed rezoning here could, in their most extreme form, have exactly the opposite effect. You want to create a zoning system, in my submission, that's reasonable, that's predictable, and that permits people who are going to invest in developments to predict with some certainty how things are going to turn out, so that they can, in turn, take all of the other steps that have to be taken in order to develop the property. In conclusion, Mr. McCangus has already said at the outset, everyone at this community center committee meeting has the same goal in mind, a prosperous, a safe, and a sustainable community in West Alexander. And the current zoning is already, in respect of the property with which we're concerned, the current zoning of those properties is already achieving that result. It's encouraged the McCangus family, for instance, and others to make a meaningful investment in the community. It's there to see. And it's achieved, or it's allowed them to create a strong, profitable business that draws, as I said, Winnipeggers to the downtown core instead of driving them away from the downtown core. And it allows for the possibility, and it's this possibility that you want to protect, it allows for the possibility of innovative new development, exactly as contemplated by Plan Winnipeg. To put the matter as plainly as I can, the current zoning isn't broken, and if it can't be demonstrated to be broken, it shouldn't be fixed. In fact, I think that there is ample evidence to suggest that the current zoning achieves exactly the result that the bylaw was intended to achieve and the kinds of goals that Plan Winnipeg articulates. I'd be happy to answer any other questions, Councillor Pactican, that you might have, or Councillor Lazarenko. I hope I haven't exhausted your patience.
Mr. Chairman,
thank you.
To you, to Ted, thank you for your presentation. It was more of a legal presentation than a common sense approach that I take a look at what's before us here today. I know that the City Winnipeg Act, now we have to, the City Winnipeg Charter, we have to abide by. And I believe in the Charter, it makes it very clear that any application, the applicant proceeds to go, and if the adjoining property owner or property owners feel it is injurious to them for the well-being, for their business or whatever, we have to strongly take a look at that to make sure this does not happen. That's part of the chart. I asked the clerk to see if she could find that, Diana. We used to have that any time that we were making the motion, that it says it does not. It's not injurious to the adjoining property owner. And you're telling us that it is will be injurious to you as to the changes that are coming about here. And but I haven't seen you tend to strike on that to say that how would it be injurious of some of the this application that is to rezone various parcels in this area. Now, I understand that what Mr. Robinson was saying before, and I'm sure he's going to allude to this, that the reason we had laid us over, you know, and to get some more information to meet with the stakeholders, and that's like yourselves, and to find out, can we come up with a compromise that's suitable for, you know, to the city and to yourselves? And I tend to agree on what you've been saying, is that it's injurious, will be injurious, as what you've indicated, Mr. McGinn, you know, on that, on the issue as what is proposed in the future, that you wanted to knock down a building and put up a new building, you can't do it because right now you lose that status. And I'd like Mr. Robinson to address that, and we can put that condition in. Because once this goes through council, part of it has gone through council already, you know, and once it goes through council, there's no turning back.
Right, but also just on that note, so that's just for our own business that we have now. Then it's restricting our future use of the business of that land. If we're using about half the block ourselves, it's our intent to develop the rest of the block with others, like with other tenants. So it is there. We're not looking to be restricted. We're looking that our M1 zoning stays whole, because if it doesn't stay whole, then we are, it's injurious for sure, and it's a problem.
Yeah, I guess just on that point there, with respect to partnering with other developers and wanting to develop the remaining portion of your space, is it your understanding that with this current proposal that you can't do the things that you're wanting to do, like the office spaces?
Well, no, we can do certain things, but right now we're very unrestricted. Okay. But to change it, we become very restricted. And the point I was trying to make is when you put a proposal in, the expense of a proposal by the time you design a building, engineers, architects, all that, to get the proposal to a stage and then have it out there that there could be one plan examiner who doesn't like one little thing in it, and that could kibosh the whole thing. I think that's a risk we're being forced to take that wasn't there before, and leaves a lot of power to a bureaucrat without just whatever that team says.
It's my understanding that the plan review will be in liaison with you, on a go-forward basis. I don't think it's something separate, and then they say no, or yes to you. I think it's in conjunction with you.
Sure, but a lot of these things too are confidential. When you're working on some of these projects, you have something in place. We weren't announcing to the women. We did have to still get a variance for the way we wanted to do the MIT thing. But we were trying to keep it very quiet from the public because it's competitors. All of a sudden now, the rules are changed for how we get to develop our land. It's going to be in the public forum on a competitive basis. Like if we're competing against someone else, and the other person has the zoning without any of these restrictions that I've been going to have put on, they're at a huge advantage.
If I may, Councillor Pakican, I apologize, Councillor Lazarenko. I'm giving a legal presentation because it's the water I swim
in. Hey, don't worry about it. That's your job.
What's being proposed from a lawyer's perspective is something that will take rights away from Winnipeg Building. However small or large you want to characterize that, it takes rights away. And the point I wanted to emphasize, one of the points I wanted to emphasize, is before you do that, it's incumbent on the city, I would suggest, to make a strong and compelling case that there's a need to take those rights away. And the point I was trying to make, however clumsily, was that case hasn't been made out here. That case hasn't been made out here. There is no reason to take away those rights. They haven't been abused. They've been well used.
The city has never come to us and said, this is why we want to do it. Like, I don't know why the status quo is being changed. Like, there's no one's come to us and said, well...
David, Ted, what's before us here, it's a zoning matter. Right. It's rezoning parcels of land in an area such as this. If this was a zoning variance, you could appeal that. This you cannot appeal.
Once
this goes to council, that's it. But the only course of appeal you have is to go through the court system. And I'm saying that we shouldn't go that direction. We should find out to get this act straight, to meet your needs, to satisfy your needs and others. I don't know what the other people are in opposition, what they have in mind, but I'm sure that we'll be able to work something out to make sure that this will be on the same threshold as what it was when this was introduced in the first place. And you said some changes have come about. I'd like to know what those changes were.
Well, the only changes, like first, the original change was they were just changing, flat out changing the zoning to whatever it is, MR2 or whatever, to basically mixed-use residential from M1. So it was, and then they came back that they were going to leave it M1, but we would be a conditional use after being there for 60 years. I mean, the fairness in that, I have a tough time getting by that. And if it is the courts where it ends up, I guess that's where, but I don't want to go that route either. But that's... Those are the two changes. And last week, Michael sent me an email saying that there's a third proposal that we stay M1 with this review. And I'm still at the point of saying, why change? I'm sticking to my guns. Why change what's not broken? It's not broken. We haven't caused anybody. No one's come to us and said, well, we want to change your zoning to this because we want you to build housing or we want to take the land to build housing. No one's saying why they want to change our zoning.
David, you don't mind calling me Dave?
No problem at all.
Dave, on the properties that are being rezoned, or recommended to be rezoned from M1 to an RMU, there's 14 properties. Is yours one of the properties?
I don't know how they determine them. We have several titles. We have an entire city block except for the Hong Kong Snack House. We have a parking lot that backs onto the fire department, and then we have a piece of vacant land just north of the Winnipeg Regional Housing development where Bowman's were bought out and that development then. So I see it as three pieces of property. I don't know technically how you have it there because it's all different titles, and I'm not sure when you say 14 what that is, if it's the number of titles.
Well, that's what it states here, is that the properties, the 14 properties, have changed from M1 to an RMU, which is the residential mixed-use use district.
Right.
If your properties are part of it.
Yeah, well, our properties are part of that. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's, we're not allowed to even be there ourselves. They wouldn't allow me to take down the shop and build a new shop. What is that? We're there 60 years, pay taxes. I mean, this is, it's not right, and I will fight it vigorously.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to be asking more questions. I think it would be right only for Mr. Robinson to respond.
Hold on,
to the concern they have.
Planner wants to say something.
There are non-conforming rights where you can replace a building as long as the intensity of the non-conforming use does not increase. So,
but I'm not restricted today. Today, if I want to build a 10,000-square-foot shop and I had a 5,000-square-foot shop, I don't need to talk to anybody about that. I can do that. And that right is going to be taken away. Right? Simple.
Is that right?
I'd have to look at the numbers.
No?
That's not right?
No, I'll discuss.
Okay, good.
So under the new, that M1, or that point number 3, Michael, that's what we're...
You can address me.
But that's really my issue, that they're... Yeah. I'm still concerned about the third proposal, that we have to go through this limited thing, but if they're going back to saying that it's, you're going to make it all residential, then there's a real issue here. Bigger issue.
Listen, I'm totally sensitive to what you've said, and for me, we're going to make a decision today. Where I'm trying to go with this, and hopefully where this goes, is that we're able to be sensitive to your requirements and your organization's requirements. And you're an awesome member of the community. There's no issue with you or your operation. And I'm looking forward to the response from the department on a lot of the issues that you brought up, and hopefully they can be addressed satisfactorily.
Mr. Chairman, I think what Mr. Bach has given us as legal counsel for the company, I think this presentation he's given, I think, speaks for itself, the concerns that you have.
I hate it when it speaks for itself, because then I've got nothing to do.
No, you said it all here.
My kids have to eat too, Councilor Lazarenko.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Harold Baumer and Ronald Zimmerman. Good afternoon. Name and address for the record, please.
It's Harold Baumer, 17 Salmi Drive.
Ron Zimmerman, 654 Cordova.
Go ahead.
I'm the owner of the property that's at 407 McDermott Avenue. It's between Francis and Ellen Street. Now, we've had the property for 25 years. One of the reasons we moved there, because it was an M1 zone property, which was perfect for our use. One of the reasons we moved there, because the last location we were at, the city decided to change the zoning to a C3 zoning. At that time, we had gathered up 4 property already, and we were going to build a shop down there. Now, this is north of Main Street, and it would have helped the area on Main Street very much. Our shop was located on Sutherland at the time. Now, when I talked to city planning at that time, and they changed to a C3 zoning, they said, you can put a drugstore there. Well, this is now 30 years later since they changed that zoning, and absolutely nothing has been done there in that area. So I don't know what the purpose was at that time. So since we moved to McDermott, I also purchased a house across the street from us on Francis Street. We have plans to put in offices and to renovate the house, and had another business in mind, which we were going to run out of that. About 10, 12 years ago, the city changed all the zoning, most of the zoning except the people on the periphery, which was my property at 407 McDermott, and I think it was the property that David McAngus owns. Needless to say, we have to sell the house for no reason. Now it's a divey old house that I don't know who's living in there or what's going on with it. There would have been offices in there. Offices aren't there. And nothing's been improved on that property whatsoever. Now, we purchased the property because it was suitable for us. There's no reason for me to move. It's M1 zone. We have about 35 people working there. And every day we have a steady flow of customers coming through the place. Now, we've been there for 25 years. In that 25 years, the property has never been boarded up. The property has always been occupied. And that's more than the city can say for the properties on the busiest thoroughfare of Winnipeg, Portage Avenue. There are still boarded up places on Portage Avenue. So why do they want to put storefronts on McDermott Avenue, on my M1 zoned property, if they can't fill the properties on the busy thoroughfares? There's absolutely no reason for it. We will be there forever. We're using the property the way we intended to. We've never bothered anybody. And if anything, I think maybe the neighborhood's not always conducive for safety, you know. But definitely there's an issue with our property. And I see no reason why the city should downgrade my property, devalue my property. So if ever I want to sell it or do something in the future, if I want to put an addition on, tear a portion down, build anything, no, I must go to the city and ask if I can do something. I don't have to do that now. Why would I ever want to change that? There's nothing that would compel me to agree with your plan. Thank you.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Councillors, I think I've just added a few things. Like Mr. Bach, I'm a lawyer, but I did not prepare a brief for you. And I'm very happy that he preceded me because he eloquently provided you with a certain legal background that I think that is valuable. Just fill in a couple of things that Mr. Baumer did not highlight. He and his family are in the sign business, where they prepare and manufacture light manufacturing of signs for commercial and other customers. And as he says, he's been in the one location for 25 years. He too is concerned, as you can tell from told you about what the future may bring if there is a zoning change to this particular property. I have to commend Mr. Robinson. He met with myself and Mr. Baumer some time ago, and he explained this idea of the design project. His opinion at that time that this could solve a number of the problems. Mr. Baumer has advised me that, like Mr. McAngus, he was originally told that this particular property was going to be exempt from any new zoning designation. But later, for reasons really we don't know, the matter came before this committee again, and it was sent back for further study, and perhaps to find out why the property should not be included in the general rezoning. We've already heard, basically, I don't want to repeat everything that's gone on ahead of us here, because you've given Mr. McAngus and Mr. Bonk a very good hearing. You've listened to what they both had to say. A lot of that is relevant to Mr. Baumer's case right now. I don't think that Mr. Baumer's business activities are as great as Mr. McAngus's, but still he has been there in this spot on McDermott Avenue for 25 years. And again, someone who has an unblemished record there, as far as we know, and nobody has complained about his activities. So the question arises again, why should there be a change? Submit that you should consider an exemption in this case, as well as that of Mr. McAngus.
Any questions?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I believe the two gentlemen are the same wavelength as the other two that appeared before us. And you also feel the same way, that if there's planned to change, the zoning now will affect you, your property, injuriously.
Well, we're on the periphery of all the housing, so I don't see how we affect anybody. And I spoke with Michael 3 months ago, and at that time he said that they would recommend to the council that there would be no change to my zoning. I couldn't go to the hearing because I was out of the country for 7 weeks. I came back, and this came as a total surprise to me.
Well, we'll have to hear, let's hear what Mr. Robinson has to say on that.
So, Mr. Baumer, I just want to ask you a question, just so I'm clear. What your real concern, are you concerned at all that you are allowed, that you're being grandfathered here, that you're allowed to continue on your operations?
Yeah, but will the next guy be allowed to do that? Can I do...
And that the next guy is permitted to do what you're doing, a similar operation, that would be grandfathered too, that's my understanding. But what you're concerned about is that if you wish to expand, you're not allowed to do so. Is that primarily what
correct.
You're...
Correct, and also if the use switches, if I sell the business, or if I sell the property, maybe the next guy can't do the same thing. He's buying it also as an M1 zoning, but all of a sudden...
I believe that they could, that as long as there is no interruption of, if there's a year lag, then I think that you would lose the right. But if there was if it was within 1 year and you sold it.
If it's the same business, correct?
Yes, you could consider.
Yeah, but what if the business changes? What if there's something additional that's being incorporated into the business? I don't have that problem now. Why would I want to have that problem? Somebody nailing your back door shut at home. You can still go out the front door, but it's not as good as before.
It's be like us. For us to be able to vote, but can't speak on the vote.
Okay, so now we have, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it, Mr. Baumer. We have all those registered for information. I'll call your name if you wish to speak. Please come to the front. Randall Rannick. Name and address for the record, please.
570 Portage Avenue, second floor, Randall Rannick. And I represent both 365 Bannatyne and 61 Juno, which are held by one of my offshore clients. I'm the asset manager and property manager for those properties. Firstly, I'll deal with 365 Bannatyne, which was going to experience a zoning change from M1 to the residential district. And now that property has become an exempt property, which is fine. However, there are certain criteria that go along with what you can do on that site in the future. Specifically with enhancement of the surrounding lands and so forth. My experience with this property is that because of the location and situation surrounding it, it has been subject to a lot of defacement by graffiti, window breakage, and a variety of that sort of activity going on. Under the guidelines, I'll call it, as it relates to what you can and cannot do in relation to aesthetic improvements to the exterior of the property, I think in this particular case we'd be more interested in making sure that the property is secure and less vulnerable to this kind of activity going on. Though it's a nice proposal to be able to say that we would like to inject stimulation into this area for the purposes of residential development, the real facts of the matter are that we have issues in the surrounding district that are not conducive to the businesses that are already there. In spite of that, they're still surviving. So I think with respect to 365 Bannatyne, we would want to make certain that anything that we did to the property to preserve it and to keep it in good condition and good order wouldn't be restricted by nicety guidelines that could, in fact, affect that from happening. Now I'm going to move to 61 Juno. 61 Juno was formerly occupied by Gemini Fashions. And in conjunction with that property across the street, we have a vacant property that's being used for parking. The zoning designations are different on both. One is a C2 commercial zoning, and the other is presently a multifamily zoning. Now, the intent is to change the zoning on the C2 to the C, is it CRU, is it, or C? CMU, I beg your pardon. And if you look at the comparative analysis of which the C2 versus the new zoning would allow, there are restrictions. In some cases, it might be maybe better for the area. Obviously, we have the exclusion of what I would say less desirous uses, which are probably all right. But effectively, we wouldn't want to limit ourselves as to what we can do with that building as we are allowed to do presently. The property, though it has a C2 zoning on it, has been largely used for manufacturing, offices, warehouse, and distribution of products for the garment industry. Presently, I have Peerless Fashions as a tenant in part of the building, so that use is still in effect. Our dilemma is this. We're sitting with a building that has approximately 50 or 60% vacancy. It has been designed specifically for its intended use. And under the new zoning, it won't comply for that. So there may be a nature of grandfathering here, but similar to the other objectors, there's limitations that occur with that, and it's long-term limitations. Presently, the two properties are valued at just short of $5 million. Okay, that's a fair investment. And by limiting the usage of those properties, it will inherently have a value effect. Now, the one property, 365 Bannatyne, is an operational business, and it contributes to the community, it employs, and that's not a worry at the present time, but their lease does come up in approximately 3.5 years. Hopeful they will renew, but if they don't, that's going to be an issue. 61 Juno is a real issue today. So having said this, our concern is that we really don't want to change anything, because we don't want to limit ourselves in a futuristic tense as to what we can use that building for and whether that restriction, if it occurs, will inherently affect the value of our properties. Now, both of those properties are supported by recent appraisals that were done by fully accredited appraisers in this market. So those are real numbers. So that's our concern. And I don't think that the proposal in front of us right now adequately deals with those concerns. Just a footnote to this entire matter. I think these gentlemen that have come forward with their objections are in their rights to do so. They're long established in this city. They've been employers. They've invested their money, after tax dollars, into this city. They've paid their taxes. They're respectable business corporate citizens. And why should they be put under this kind of basic scrutiny for future development and use of their properties, which they have full rights and intentions under the existing zoning? This is something that should be not allowed in a full democracy.
Mr. Brannick, quick question for you. Were you able to look at the chart?
Looked at the chart,
and
yes.
Were there uses in there, the future uses that are being changed?
There could be future uses. Yes, there are future comparative uses in relation to the commercial zoning, which are not adequately covered off under the new zoning. If you look down the columns, you'll see that the highlighted yellow columns show what is presently permitted. The columns are quite a bit shorter on the other side. That would say to me it's not allowed. So.
Hear what Mike has to say.
That's my point. So now am I an objector or I'm just asking for information?
You put your points out and we'll make sure that they get addressed.
Okay, so basically I guess you can consider it an objection. We just want things to remain status quo.
You want us to change your delegation to an opposition?
Yes, particularly on 61 Juno and the parking lot across the street. As it relates to 65 Bannatyne, the only thing that we're concerned about is that even though it's being exempt, we're concerned about if we have to secure that property with fencing or with grill guards on the windows or something to make that property more secure. We don't want to have to jump through hoops to do it.
But you should have your property secured.
Our properties have secured, yeah, they are secured to a degree. We have had a rash of window breakage lately. The building, I'll try to describe the building to you. It's a building that was originally intended to be more than two stories above grade. It's a partial basement out of above ground with windows and window well type construction. And then the upper two floors have large windows above that. The building is situated in such a way where it goes to the very limits of the property, sidewalk to sidewalk to sidewalk, backing out onto the old William Street Library property. So we don't really have any side yard or front yard to deal with as far as a landscaping issue is concerned. But we do have a graffiti issue, so that's number one, which is a problem for us now. But we're also getting a lot of window breakage on the first and second levels of the building. Every time you get a rock that's thrown through, and you know, the problem is with something like that, every time you put a claim in through your insurance company, guess what happens to your rates? So we really need to somehow deal with that, and we want to do it aesthetically, but we don't want to make it look like a prison, mind you, but we want to make it look aesthetically, but we want to still protect that property from further vandalism. And if there isn't a provision to do that under what's being proposed, then we have a problem. You know.
Hey, Mr. Rannick, thank you very much.
Thank you, sure. Gentlemen.
Next up, we have Doug Schenk. Name and address for the record, please.
It's Doug Schenk, and I'm at 121 McKay Road.
You're welcome.
And I'm got a property on 379 Notre Dame.
Go ahead.
This is very new for me, and we purchased this property in 96, and we've been basically cleaning it up since then. And sorry, not 96, but 2006. But we're cleaning it up, and we're looking to be a valuable business in the area.
The old dry cleaners?
Actually, this was formerly a service station, There was a used car repair shop. So
I see, yes.
We're between Ellen and Dagmar.
Got it, yeah.
We're actually right behind the fire department, I guess. We've got a parking lot one side, the fire department on the other. But one of the reasons, you know, when we did buy the property is the M1 was certainly important to us. I've spoken to get a little bit more information because I wasn't totally aware of what was going on or the ramifications. I do certainly have some concerns after listening to what everybody has to say in terms of, you know, things that we may want to do in the future. We're presently right now in the downtown area. We're moving because of some of the congestion and some of the things that are going on. We're on a main street right now, the location's on a main street with Notre Dame. The fire department, the trucks and their sirens are going off every half hour because, could be construed as a business interruption, but we were prepared to put up with that and when we bought the building. So I guess I would have to say we're in opposition of this, and I'm still learning a little bit more about what's going on. There's some things that sound, you know, okay about it, but there's a lot of things that are very indecisive as far as, you know, whether, you know, you might be able to do it, but you might not be able to do it. And it seems to be a lot of controls and restrictions going on within this, and which I'm not sure, and I've seen some of the businesses, we've been in that area dealing with some of these businesses for a lot of years, and I guess the best thing is I'm not sure why they're changing the M1 zoning, and the other thing I found, I'm hearing is that some of the companies were, I'm not sure, being offered an exemption to the rezoning. When I spoke today, that was never brought up, and I'm not sure if that's an option, but if it is, you know, certainly that would something that could have been mentioned to us today.
And so you're basically, what you're saying in a nutshell, if I understand it, if you wish to expand, you're concerned about that?
Well, some of the building that we have is some of it's older, some of it's newer. Okay, we have some parts of the building that is going to need some renovation and some repairs. Will this new rezoning limit us in terms of what we want to do in terms of expansion, in just basic repairs? This is all new to me, so I'm just kind of shooting off the cuff here.
I guess responded to. Any questions, Councilor?
Mr. Chairman, to the delegation, what you're doing, what you're telling us now, you want to protect your M1 rights.
That is correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Schenk. Appreciate you coming down. All right, that was it for all of the opposition. Do we have anyone else who wishes to speak to the application who hasn't had a chance yet? Okay, seeing none, we'll call the applicant, Mr. Michael Robinson, back. And Mr. Robinson, you can respond back to all of the concerns that were brought up, please. Okay, great.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to provide some clarification. I appreciate hearing everybody's concerns, and I'd like to try to address everybody's concerns. And first, I'd just like to indicate, yes, this is a bit confusing. It isn't every day that the city initiates a rezoning of 175 properties in a neighborhood. It isn't every day that we do a planned development overlay district. This is actually a fairly new tool that the city has. But at the same time, we don't often do neighborhood plans for inner city neighborhoods. And when we do, priorities shift. So we're dealing with some new information, new issues here. So it is a bit confusing. What I'd like to do is just give a little bit of background in terms of where we're at right now. Initially, the administration recommended that the four property owners be exempt from the zoning change. That was the administrative recommendation that went to Community Committee in April. And yes, as the district planner, I did relay to those property owners that our recommendation would be that no change be made to those properties. At that April meeting, Community Committee indicated that they wanted us, the public service, to consult with those property owners about possible restrictions. So I met personally with each of those four property owners and discussed with them some various options of how to address these concerns about land use. So there's essentially three options that are on the table that you can deal with today. One option is going back to the initial administrative recommendation that these properties be exempt that they stay M1 and that there be no further restrictions or regulations on them. One option is that certain properties within the industrial areas become conditional and other properties become prohibited. And then a third option, and this came out of the feedback that we received from the property owners. We heard that the conditional use option was of a concern to them for four main reasons. One was the risk that the conditional use provided uncertainty for them. There was the cost of the application. There was the time that it would take to go through a public hearing process. And then also concerns about taking away rights that they have vested under the M1 zoning. So we came up with an option that intends to address that and try to come up with a compromise that would satisfy all parties. And what that is the plan review. And under the plan review, no uses would be affected at all. So anybody that's zoned M1 that has a industrial use would be allowed to continue that use. They would be allowed to expand that use. They would be allowed to redevelop for another industrial use. The only additional piece is that it would go through an administrative plan review, where we would look at site design issues, landscaping, fencing, screening of outdoor storage, and signage. And really, the reason that might be necessary, and that's, you know, that'll be up to the community committee to decide, is because M1 doesn't adequately deal with this particular neighborhood. The attorney had indicated that there was no need to change the zoning. There's no compelling reason to do it. Well, the secondary plan is a game changer, so to speak, because there's a whole new layer of policy that's been introduced by City Council for this particular neighborhood. The intent of this neighborhood has changed completely. The attorney referred to the M1 zoning and the intent of M1. Well, that's out the window. The new intent is, this district is to encourage a fine-grained mix of low and medium-density residential uses with low-intensity commercial uses rather than a separation of uses. A secondary purpose is to encourage compatibility of built form between building types, provide a consistent scale, and to maintain the interesting qualities and characteristics of the streetscape. So the emphasis has tilted to residential with ancillary commercial. And we're saying, no problem, the industrial uses are exempt, they can stay. But in order to ensure that this intent is met, this site plan review will just offer an extra layer of review. And when we do the plan reviews, we work with the property owners. It's an iterative process. And I've done hundreds of these. And we bring our technical expertise to the table as planners, but we're very respectful of the property owners and what they're trying to do as well. So those are the choices that you have. You could choose to exempt the properties, period. You could choose to make certain uses conditional, or you could choose to implement this site plan review, which is sort of the ultimate compromise. I just want to point out that we're dealing with two large neighborhoods, and we're dealing with hundreds of properties here. There's four properties that we're specifically talking about right now. The rest of the property owners are not here. It's because they've been informed about the changes. They don't have any objections to the changes that are taking place. So I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that this is a neighborhood-wide initiative, and this has significant benefits to both West Alexander and Centennial. So regardless of what happens with these four properties, don't lose sight of the bigger picture that the neighborhood will benefit from this PDO and that it's important that it go ahead. With respect to the comments that Mr. Rannick made about the commercial uses from C2 to CMU, there was over 100 properties that are being rezoned from C2 to CMU. None of the other property owners are here. And I would guess that the reason is that rights are being enhanced under CMU as opposed to taken away in the vast majority of cases. What we're doing, well, the whole thrust of CMU is saying, okay, right now there's a bunch of regulatory hoops you have to jump through to do residential on our neighborhood commercial streets. We want to take those regulatory barriers and throw them out the window and make it easier for people to do residential mixed use above the first floor. So residential use has become permitted in CMU. So that's a huge entitlement that those property owners have. In terms of uses that are being restricted in C2, that are permitted in, or that are allowed in C2, pawn shops, X-rated stores, check cashing facilities, body modification establishments, and funeral chapels. That's it. And I would be surprised if that property on Juno was going to be developed for any of those uses. More likely, it would be redeveloped as some sort of residential mixed-use project, which would become permitted under the new zoning. But with that said, the idea was to actually provide for the C2 to CMU was to provide more entitlements to make it easier for people to develop their properties. We didn't mean any harm by that at all. If people have issues with that, we would have no objections to someone staying C2. My own personal opinion, though, is that they'd actually be better off with CMU. In terms of Mr. Schenck's property on Notre Dame, he is CMU. He would be going to CMU, and he is an industrial use. So that is the one case where he would potentially be negatively impacted by this, and that he'd only be able to expand his business by virtue of a variance. So if he wanted to be exempted from the zoning and have the M1 zoning status quo for his property, we would have no objections to that. We would put him then in the same category as the other four property owners.
Michael, you mentioned, thanks for the recap. You went really fast in the beginning there. You said that something about, I was writing it down, no uses would be affected. You talked about saying about expansion. Can you just revisit that?
There, again, there's the three options, right? Under the conditional use option, option two, I believe, uses would be impacted. Uses that are currently permitted would become conditional, and certain other uses would become prohibited. And that would introduce an extra layer of zoning regulation and potentially a public hearing. That's not the option that we're recommending, but that's one of the options that we put forward. The option that has been discussed the most is the site plan review option, and that would have no impact on use. So businesses that are operating as industrial uses would be allowed to continue and flourish, hopefully. They'd be allowed to expand. They could redevelop.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Can you speak specifically? There was an example brought up. One of the businesses had a vacant piece of land. They wanted to do something with it. Can you speak to that item?
Sure. Like Mr. Baumer, for instance, he runs a sign fabrication plant. He's zoned M1. If he wanted to expand his sign fabrication plant, he'd be allowed to do so. There would be no issues with that at all. The only effect of this would be that the administration would do a site plan review. So we would review the site plan in conjunction with Mr. Baumer. We would look at the landscaping, the fencing, screening, that sort of thing, to make sure that it was compatible with the area.
And that would take place over the regular course of, it would be no extra, would there be any additional time required for that type of thing?
I don't think so. It would happen concurrently with the building permit process. So when he applied to expand his building, he'd have to go through plan examination and meet building code. The zoning review would happen concurrently with that.
Councilor Zarenko?
Mr. Chairman, Michael, I have some concerns that were raised by the delegation. And they're able to address the issue that it'll affect their properties. It'll be injurious to their properties and to their well-being. You talk about the four properties that will be exempted. We haven't here in the motion, the clause that's before us here, it states the four properties. What four properties are we talking about? To have that for the record.
I said four property owners.
Yeah.
One property owner, Mr. Angus, I think has 10 different zoning lots.
Can we, dealing with a motion, can we have to be specific? Four property owners and stipulate the properties that are affected, adversely affected by this?
It's in the administrative report. If you give me a second, I will attempt to locate that. Okay. On page 12 of the administrative report, it lists the properties that would be exempted. 447 Bannatyne Avenue, that's All Canadian Emblem Corporation. They're not here tonight. 365 Bannatyne Avenue. That's Bannatyne Investments Incorporated. That's Mr. Rannick is representing them. Baumer Enterprises, 399 to 407 McDermott Avenue. And then Winnipeg Building and Decorating, MacTi Holdings and Tana Enterprises. That's all holdings of Mr. McAngus. And all the addresses are listed there. 412 McDermott, 69 Francis, 45 Francis, 409 to 411 Notre Dame, 405 Notre Dame, 403 Notre Dame, 395 Notre Dame, and six properties on Ellen, plus two additional properties with no address. So that makes up those properties.
So, Ms.
And I'm saying they were here in opposition. Did they know about this?
Everybody's been consulted.
I asked them, you're in opposition to elimination of the M1. That's exactly what they said. Now, you said also, Michael, expansion to an M1 property be no problem. How would you specify that in the order that would be coming in as a motion? And that would be approved by council, giving them that protection, giving them that right, that they can expand an M1 property that they own.
The administrative recommendation is to exempt the M1 properties, period. So that then and the PDO would go forward and have absolutely no impact on those properties at all. Things would be status quo. They would go on. There's two options here that you could add, which would add some additional restriction. One is to add the conditional uses, and one is to add a site plan review. So those are additional options that you could add on to the PDO, which would provide some additional a restriction or regulation on those properties.
Gary, just so you're clear, the administrative report is recommending that these property owners be exempt, but what's as well as adding a plan review, which will work with we'll work with the property owners and the developers if they wish to develop their property into residential. Like right now, we had a situation on Higgins Avenue, and there was a landowner. He owned a building, wanted to do commercial on the main level, residential on the upper levels. Couldn't do it because it was zoned industrial. Here we have a situation where we're creating a greater entitlement by, from my understanding, we're allowing these folks to continue on, and if they wish to do a residential development as well on their land, they could do so. And
Let me jump in there just to clarify that. That would be true for the properties that are going from C2 to CMU, but not for the properties that are staying M1. They have an opportunity at some point in the future, if they want to redevelop their property, if somebody comes forward and says, hey, I want to buy your property and build condos, they could apply to rezone their property to RMU. We're doing free rezonings right now, essentially, but if you exempt out, then you're responsible for rezoning your property in the future. The city would support that because it's entirely consistent with the secondary plan. But for those properties that are exempting out, they would not be able to do residential without rezoning their property, and then they would be on the hook for that.
And Michael, what I see there on page 9, properties being rezoned, M1 to MRMU, 14 properties. RM1 to CMU, 11 properties. And what you said here, that the exemption will take place to the four property owners and all the rest of the properties. Do they fall within that picture? What we're going to be doing here as far as rezoning taking place if we go ahead with this? The numbers that are...
Yes. Well, all of Mr. McAngus's properties would be exempted, and some are CMU and some are M1. Mr. Baumer's property would be exempted. He's currently M1, so he would stay M1. And Mr. Rannick's property would be exempted. He's currently M1. He would stay M1. And then All Canadian Emblem would stay M1 as well.
Okay, Michael, now, on the Appendix A, same thing on page 9. The 14 properties that'll be RMU, are any of those 14 properties on the list that you just read out, Mr. Bombers, Mr. McAngus?
Yep.
McAngus. are any of them on this list that to be rezoned? You got 14 properties, then you've got an additional four properties. I mean, M1 Ignite, 11 properties. So there's a total of 25 properties on Appendix A.
Right. Some of them are M1. Some of them are C2. There's a number of properties that are M1 that have no objections to going to RMU, and they're not here tonight, so those are going to RMU. There's also a number of properties that were C2 that have no objection to going to CMU. They're not here tonight. So we're just dealing with you said 19 properties or so. I don't know the exact number. They're outlined in here that have asked to be exempted. Other than that, everybody else has concurred with the changes to their zoning.
So the delegation that was here today, none of their properties on this list now, on page 9.
It's they're removed from Schedule B2 on page 15. There's property addresses. They're struck out. Those are the properties that are being removed. This list will be sent to the clerk to make the mapping changes for the zoning and the properties that are struck out.
So the Schedule B2 is the, what's lying here that they struck out?
That's correct.
That falls within the delegation, so the delegation was here. That's their properties are on this list.
That's correct.
Well, I'm just wondering if they're aware of this when they appeared as a delegation.
They were asking to be removed. This is what they're asking for.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, that's...
The only person who's not on this list is Mr. Shank, because we're hearing about his objection for the first time tonight.
Mike?
So, Michael, you're... okay. So... So just with respect to the first and third options, is there a possible hybrid on that?
Can you clarify?
Well, the exemption with, a site review if there's expansions and whatnot.
Not sure what you mean.
Okay, the first option is to exempt the four properties, right? Correct?
That's correct.
And this site plan review, how does that interface with all of this?
If you like the idea of the site plan review, what you would do is you would approve the PDO, the administrative PDO, but you would make one modification to the administrative recommendation. You would add option 3, which is the site plan review, and then that would go into the PDO, and that would require site plan review for any redevelopment or new development of those M1 properties. That's all you would need to do to deal with that.
The site plan review
for the site plan.
Now talk about the exemption part of it for a second.
Okay, in terms of the exemptions, that's on the rezoning application. You would approve the administrative recommendation as is. Period. And the only caveat to that is if you wanted to add Mr. Shank's property, you would add that to the list of exempted properties.
Okay, let me put Harry back. Harry, I'm going to move you into the chair.
I'm moving you into the chair.
Okay, you want to make motions?
No, I'll... I'm in a chair. How can you move me into a chair? I'm in a chair. You want me to take over the chair? Okay.
All right.
Where was I sitting on the bench? Mr. Chairman, before Michael, I counted the number of what you have here on page 12. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 properties, right? Or thereabouts. And when I take a look at Schedule B, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Where's the other five? that I...
Well, we've checked and double-checked the list, and we've had Mr. Curry actually reviewed it as well and sent me an email, and we made a modification based on that. I'm fairly certain that it's
Okay, so Michael, what we'll be doing here today, Schedule B, what's underlined here is not going to have no meaning if the clerk will have the addresses that we'll be approving here today, if Councillor Patrickin so proceeds to do that.
It's on Schedule B,
yeah.
And it's B2. And it has been verified multiple times that it is accurate. Okay.
So I hope that you understand.
Yep, help me here, Michael, because...
Yes. How onerous of the site are you going to be?
Okay, sorry. You can't speak anymore, I'm sorry.
Well, I can ask it.
You can't. Yeah.
Site review. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The site review plan.
What is the site review all about?
The site plan review.
Sure.
Site plan review.
You're familiar with plan approvals. We do plan approvals all the time. When somebody submits for a new building, it goes through a couple of reviews automatically. It goes through a plan examination review where plan examination looks at building code to ensure that the building meets building code requirements. Likewise, we go through a site plan review. We'll look at the site to make sure that it complies with the zoning bylaw. That happens automatically. What this site plan review would do is it would look at sort of enhanced standards for the site plan. So rather than the M1 requirements, which are actually quite low because it's an industrial neighborhood, we would, as a reference point, look at the RMU standards for landscaping, screening, signage, to increase the quality of the site design and the compatibility with the area. So we already go through a site plan review. This would just be sort of changing the focus of it to try to get these properties to be compatible and of a high quality with the neighborhood.
To meet the aesthetics of the community and the rest of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I knew I asked the right question.
So Michael, with respect to the exemption on the first option, my understanding is that is, what is that exactly? When you say exemption, what does that mean exactly?
Okay, if you...
For the four properties.
Right. If you go with option one, the properties would stay M1. It would be status quo. There'd be no change.
Those four properties, right?
Yeah. Okay. If you added option three, then they would go through the site plan review. And option two, they would go through conditional use. So the default option, if you do nothing, is option one, essentially. That's the administrative recommendation.
What is on page one of your... That the plan zoning bylaw number 200-2006 be amended by rezoning the subject land shown in Schedule B1 and listed in B2 to an RMU, a CMU, and an M2. Which option is that?
Okay.
I'm mixing this up here.
Again, this is very complicated because we've never done this type of thing before. These are new tools that are in our zoning bylaw, so we'll walk through it slowly. So there's two things that we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with the rezonings, and we're dealing with a plan development overlay district. We recommend that the rezonings go through as is, the administrative recommendation. If you want to add, Mr. Shank's property, that would be the one amendment. Otherwise, we recommend that go through as is. Now, dealing with the review, the site plan review,
yes,
that all happens in the PDO.
The PDO.
So that's the separate application. So if you choose to do nothing, you would just approve the administrative recommendation for the PDO. If you choose to add the site plan review, then you would add option number
three
to that administrative recommendation.
Which means what, though, with respect to the exemption? Is that part of the exemption, or that's what I...
The exemption happens in the rezoning application.
Rezoning, so that's separate from the PDO.
That's separate from the PDO.
Identified differently than what
you're
saying.
Is that?
Yeah. In option one, he's making reference to option 12. Option one is the administrative plan approval. Option one, not three.
Okay, I don't have it in front of me, so...
No, option one is the administrative plan approval, and option two... change the permitted industrial uses to conditional or prohibited M1 in the RMU. And option three is the status quo. You have them reversed.
I had them reversed.
Yeah.
All of these.
Hold on. One and three.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, you ready? I'll take the chair.
Yeah, I just want to get to that page. Sorry. Am I looking at the wrong thing? Hold on here.
Okay, Councilor Pachtakin, you have the floor.
Yeah. I still need to ask some questions.
Go ahead.
Okay.
You got the floor.
So with respect to the rezoning, okay, there are properties here being rezoned where property owners are okay with the rezoning. There are some that are here today that are not okay with that part of it, right? So what we can do here is exempt those four.
We've already done that in the administrative recommendation.
Okay.
We put it in.
I just want to go slow here because I don't want to make a mistake, so that's why I'm asking. Okay, so. Oh, God. I have a copy paper of that motion that I wrote. Hey, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the receipt of public.